other researchers if they want to. But you thought that the Gypsy Society thought that they should get, you know, recording of people, long-term residents.
Yeah. Well, I'm not alone. I moved in here, into this shop, in 79. Does that qualify me?
That's 6 years ago, Rosa.
Yes. Yep. So, all right then, so long as I'm qualified.
Yes.
I'm qualified.
Well, I don't know who put your name on the list, but I said, oh, I know her. You only know me by sight.
Yes.
But I'm, you know, I've been around for a while.
The Fitzroy History Society, I don't know why it is, but every time they've got something and I think, that looks really interesting, we'll go, there's a reason why we can't go. No. And we're away, we've got to look after babies, you know, Min's got a mother who's really sick, and it's just, and it happens every single time. I think, oh, that'd be really good.
Do you get the newsletter?
I get the newsletter.
Oh, you do? With so that's why you know what
that's I know what's happening.
Yeah.
I'd love to go to... They had a walk just recently, which would have been really good.
Yeah.
And I took my granddaughter away. And anyway,
life sometimes gets
in the way of living.
So you came here, you said, about 1979?
79.
And you opened the shop, was it 80?
I think it was 79.
It was
79, yes.
Okay.
Yep. Because before that, I was in Queen's Parade. You know, there used to be a health food shop there called Soul Food, and it was a big building with three stories on the top. And I was on the top floor, and it's since burnt down, actually.
I remember.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yep. And on the ground floor, there was a health food shop. When health food was new, and everybody's into it now, but, and the owner of that shop asked me if I would like to, if we would go into business with him, and we bought this building.
This one?
This building.
Oh, right.
He decided he wanted to move on, and so I couldn't afford to buy his share, so we sold to an investor, and then some years later I managed to buy it back from her.
Good.
So I'm lucky. Mm-hmm. I'm so lucky. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody then imagined that Gertrude Street would be anything other than... I mean, the reason we chose this place was because it was cheap.
Mm-hmm.
It was the closest to the city, cheapest. And in those days, nobody would let their kids come and do work experience here because it was so dangerous and so creepy. This was the Macedonian Social Club. Then there was the Albanian Social Club that was up here. And then there was the Lithuanian Social Club. And they were actually gambling clubs.
Right.
They sold Nescafe, but that was it. There wasn't any food or anything like that. It was cards.
Right. I think they need a little bit of food.
Well, you never saw food.
Right.
And you didn't go in there unless you were in the group, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody that... It wasn't like you just drifted into the Macedonian Social Club for a cup of coffee. Cup of Nescafe. And they were really seedy. I mean, the facility, it was all men, and the facilities out the back were as rough as guts. It was pretty confronting. There was a fire escape at the back there, and the men, I saw them do it once, they'd just get to the top of the fire escape and we into the garden. It was pretty awful.
Were you living next door?
No, I didn't live next door. I didn't move in to next door until 96, when that became available. But, so that was... Yeah, I've been here it'll be... it's 19 years. Mm-hmm. Living here.
And so you did all your training in England, did you?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I was trained as, I was apprenticed as a dressmaker, and then I went to art school and did design. So I'm lucky I've got both strands.
Yeah.
Nowadays, people are usually one or the other. There's not very many people. And actually now I'm sort of more of an artisan. The design side of it, it's useful to have it, but it's not really my number one thing. I'm a maker.
Now, in the 80s, you worked on quite a number of films.
That's right.
Some of them shot around here, usually when they wanted to recreate a much older Melbourne.
That's right.
Melbourne
That's
in the 30s, or the slums of the...
Well, we went all over the place in those days. and I only really did period films. I'm a bit out of touch with contemporary, and always have been. So... yeah, there were films made around here, quite a lot of interiors. But do you remember was it Bell Street or Victoria Street? There was it used to be a big theatre.
The Universal.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And
they had a cinema there as
that's
well.
That's right.
Yes.
And they used to do quite a bit of work there. They had sound studios there that used to do quite a bit of filming in, because it was cheap. But mainly we used to get everything ready here and interview and do the fittings and stuff with the actors, and then they'd be shot all over the place. But we had quite a few famous actors who weren't that famous at the time. Nicole Kidman came in here, and
Greta Scacchi.
Yeah, Greta.
I remember you made a gown for her to wear to the Cannes Festival.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. That's right. She actually comes back and visits, actually, which is really sweet. And Guy Pearce and Russell Crowe, and I mean, they've all come in here, but you know, when they were babies, really, and we were all babies.
Oh, I was going to ask you, how did you find working from here when you first moved in? The area was a rough area, a rougher area than it is now. Because I grew up here, it never struck me as rough. It was just what life was. But how did you find the people, your interactions with them?
There have been periods when it's been quite seedy. And for a long time, down the other end, Gertrude Street was the only stuff you could buy here was heroin. You actually couldn't buy ordinary stuff. But that changed when the Builder's Arms changed hands. The Builder's Arms was notorious. I've always worked in this room. This has been my domain. And I've looked out of this window and seen bodies in the street, and we've just gone, shall we go and do something about it? No, someone else will. I mean, it was so commonplace. But then it changed hands and went, and for some time it was the Franco Cozzo room. Do you remember that? It was in, and a different class of people came, not rich people.
I didn't know that.
Oh, it was great. Yeah, it was the Franco Cotter. It changed hands.
Was that with all the red?
Yes.
Because it looked like a shop.
He didn't own it, but it was a sort of...
I used to go there.
Do you remember Franco Cotter?
Oh, yes.
Well, that sort of brought different people in, and then other people had the guts to sort of buy into a business and make it a bit better. I mean, now the only people who are left from the good old days are the billiard people, the people. Oh, is he still there? The barber across the road.
Yeah,
those are the two long term people. But the ironworks had been here for donkey's years, and they've recently moved out. So.
I think the father became too old, really, to keep running the business.
He had a lot of problems. And it was a bit of an anachronism here, too, because they needed truck space, and there was always arguments about parking.
So, as the area changed, you were witness to all of that.
Yes.
What really stands out for you?
In terms of the changes? Well, I think what we've been lucky about is that no one's ever had the idea of getting rid of the Housing Commission, which means that we have across the board here. I mean, some other places that go upmarket, the older residents don't feel welcome anymore, and that isn't the case here. We've still got our local characters. You see African families walk down here. The indigenous community still got a big presence in this street, and so you don't feel, I mean, occasionally there's places like if you go to South Yarra, you don't feel nearly sort of hip enough.
Well, here it's,
I mean, if you want to, you can go across to Moon over water and spend $500 for a meal for two people. So we do have people. I mean, they're still going strong. But so we've got those. That it's actually calmed down a little bit from when it was heaving nightclubs on the corner of the road here, and for some reason that has just toned down a little bit. So it used to be, it used to have people. It was a sea of vomit on Sunday morning, all around this corner, but that's calmed down, and I don't know why. I mean, people were despairing about it, and then I mean, things move on. I think you'd be hard pressed to buy heroin here now. You'd have to go somewhere else.
Well, I think that the police did move them on, so Richmond got a.
Yeah, they got a serve.
But I read once, I don't think I thought about myself, that part of why the heroin's not sort of focused in one place is mobile phones.
Oh, they can go
in. They don't have to be in one place.
Yes.
Soon after I moved in, there were the big hot spots for selling heroin. It was the University of Melbourne study. It was outside the supermarket, by Coles Woolworths, and at the end of Webb Street. They were the two spots.
Gracious.
And then mobile phones came in,
and they
couldn't.
Well, once, I think it was probably 20 years ago, this was before the Builders Arms changed hands, the police came and said they've got their eyes on somebody, and could they use this room as a vantage, you know. And it was great fun. I finished my work, and the cops would come in, and they'd set themselves all up with their cameras and what have you, and then they'd make themselves cups of tea, and they'd stay here all night with their cameras, and say, in the morning, you know. And it must have cost them a fortune.
But the
thing that used to crack us up was, detectives look like detectives, whatever they do somehow, and they would walk into the shop at 6 o'clock with detectives written all over them. And I was amazed that the people across the road didn't tweak. And then we said, look, you need to disguise yourself. And we gave them Rose Chong plastic bags to come in with. But it was hopeless. They were so sweet. They used to clean up. They were so careful about cleaning their coffee cups and their pizza boxes and stuff. And then when they left, they gave us a great big bunch of flowers. And
but did they get their mail?
Actually, they did. They did. It was when the Eastern European people were involved in all of that, and they did get a Mr. Big of some sort. I don't know. Yeah, so it was good.
So you actually migrated here from England.
That's
and
right.
Got this one cultural shock, then you migrated to Fitzroy with another cultural shock.
Well, when I first arrived, my husband was a struggling student at Melbourne Uni, and I met him in England. We were in Cambridge, and I was lured over here, and we lived in Scotchmer Street, which again, North Fitzroy was nothing. It was nothing special, mm-hmm. And we rented there.
What year was that?
That was 73, and then we moved to Clifton Hill, and babies and what have you, and then we spent 13 years in Coburg because we needed a much bigger house. And then the boys grew up and I was sick of having their motorbikes and everything everywhere, so that's when we moved back here. But when I first set up this business here, I was commuting from Coburg, and the boys were at North Fitzroy Primary School, and they'd come on the tram and meet me here, and we'd go back together. Those boys are now 40s, and so that's a while. And my baby boy has come back to roost, and he lives next door here with his wife and two kids. And that little boy's just started at North Fitzroy Primary School. Yes. Did your kids go to North Fitzroy? I can't remember.
My grandkids did. My
did they?
Children went to Rathdown Street because
yes.
I'm in Hanover Street.
Yes,
now,
I remember.
I don't drive, and as you know, I worked all the way through,
yes.
So I just carted them across the park, and then it was just a 5-minute
walk
was
easier,
across
yes.
the park. It was easier. But my grandson went to North Fitzroy.
Did he? Mm. Did he really?
Yes.
So you've got older grandchildren, have you now?
Well, yes. He's at Northcote High now.
Yes.
So he'll be 15. Oh, he's just turned 15. That's
gracious.
Why we had a birthday party.
Gracious.
So, yes, and my kids are the same age as yours, yes.
Yeah. They grow, don't they?
Yes. But you've always lived in areas that have been full of migrants, and so quite vibrant because of that, I imagine.
It's very strange. Wherever you go in Melbourne, it can be like going into a different, like going on holiday to a different city, and you can go to Springvale, you can go to, where do we go? It's all Indian people. Frankston,
Dandenong, Surrey Hills, a different
that's right,
world.
That's
yeah.
right, and it's just
Footscray would be different.
Yes, yep. Mm. Well, two of my sons live in Footscray. And if I didn't live in Fitzroy, I'd probably live in Footscray. I can't imagine living south of the river. Just can't. We very rarely go there anymore. We used to go to Theatre Works. It's a theatre at the other side. But we get all into a snarl-up with parking and we can't cope. So it's too much. I know there's sea over there, which is nice, but...
yes, true. With the changing demographic in Fitzroy, you've already commented on how that's not really impacting on the character of the area very much. Is there anything you actually think that Fitzroy is losing by becoming more... in its process of becoming more gentrified?
It is a bit rough on young people that want to live here, because I think I read in the paper for every one share house room there's 38 people apply, and it's the most difficult in the whole of Australia is Fitzroy to get a room. So I've got youngsters on my staff, for instance, who would love to live closer and just can't afford it. I don't know how you fix that. You can't fix that. If you sort of make it cheaper somehow, which is impossible, then all the people that have coffee shops and stuff would also... You've got to have one with the other, really.
But the problem there is that, as you pointed out, once upon a time, if you didn't have a lot of money, you could live in Eltham or Fitzroy, and they're both suburbs that have quite a lot to offer, whereas these days you need to go out to Melton to be able to get comparable value, and there aren't any services there.
Yep.
So that is a serious problem.
It is a problem, and I mean, when we rail about it, then I have to stop and say, this is my fault. Because I had four boys and I've got eight grandchildren, and it's my fault, really. We should have all not had kids. Or aren't we allowed to have one? We're allowed to replace ourselves. And I've overdone it, so that's the cause of...
I'm thinking that mea culpa is beyond the scope of this document, this interview, but I see what you're saying. I'm almost as guilty. I only had three kids and I only have five grandchildren.
You're to blame.
I'm to blame.
And, of course, we want them all to live close, but luckily...
You've done the right thing. Yours are in America.
Yeah. Well, luckily for me, I'm very lucky. I've got a son, and that was because... 20 years ago, when I was doing renovations on this place, I wanted to find out who owned the property next door, and I managed to go to the council and find them. And these people didn't have a telephone; they were market gardeners in Werribee. So I got into the car and drove out and said, "Do you mind if we do fencing and stuff like that?" And the bloke said, "I don't mind, I want a flogging place, it's a nuisance to me." So I said, "Well, I'll buy it then." And I came back and told my husband, "You should know that we've just..." And he was appalled, absolutely. I remember him saying, we're ruined. But it was fortuitous, really.
Yes.
So that's where he lives, in the flat above there. So that's how we look after his babies. He changes our light bulbs for us.
It works out beautifully.
Yeah, it's good.
With your kids, do you know how they feel about Fitzroy? Is their attitude to Fitzroy different to yours?
This boy loves Fitzroy. He had a brief sojourn in Preston, where somebody told him when you have babies you have to have a lawn. And he then worked out you had to mow it, and said, could he come back? So that one loves Fitzroy, and the other two are in Footscray. One, I think, would come back here in a heartbeat because his wife works with Circus Oz, and he's investigated selling Footscray and moving back here, but the sums didn't add up. And the other family's pretty happy in Footscray. And then my number three son lives in Noosa. So he had a little restaurant down here, and then a tragedy happened, and so he actually can't handle Fitzroy at all. He's still not really over it. My little granddaughter died of cancer.
You would never get over that, really.
He's got two little boys. He's got a thriving business. He's got a beautiful house, and the sun shines up there. It's still there, though. That pain is still there. And he somehow thinks that Fitzroy had something to do with it. I don't know. He associates that pain with Fitzroy. Mm. So he'll never come back to Fitzroy. Mm. But... He's doing all right.
Do you think that Fitzroy still has, or do you think it ever had, a strong community feel?
I do, and I love it. If I walk down Smith Street, there's always somebody that I know. Traders, fellow residents, customers, and I didn't feel that when we lived in Coburg. We were on a detached house. We had neighbours that we knew, but not like this. We have a street party once a year for South Gore Street residents. But I think all There used to be traders' associations here, but they've sort of fizzled out a little bit, and now Gertrude Street puts on the Projection Festival once a year, and that sort of
unites
us.
Yes.
But we used to have... We used to be slightly at odds with the council, where traders would want something and the council would sort of inhibit it somehow. But that the council now seems to be a lot more amenable. We don't have them actively sort of coming up with harebrained things that are going to stop us. They're actually quite trader friendly, but there's always that battle between traders and residents. And I think we've got it as harmonious as it could possibly be now, but in times gone by it's been a bit difficult. Certainly when the nightclubs were all jumping, there were difficulties with neighbours. And I was always in the middle because I'm a trader and a neighbour. And that was always a bit difficult to sort of bridge the gap.
Was part of that why the Gertrude Association was formed?
No, the Gertrude Association is traders only.
Oh, is it okay?
It's traders only, and their big thrust is the Projection Festival. I am not aware that they're involved in any other issues. But we had all sorts of... There was a Gertrude Street Traders Association, which I think is still logged in at the council, because I get stuff from the council from time to time. But some of those traders have moved out. The people that were driving forces. Do you remember where... do you remember Herb, who used to run the furniture place, which is where Dante...
Yes,
then it was Dante.
Yes,
Dante.
Yes,
it was
yes.
Menker.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. We've interviewed
yes.
Menker as well.
Yep, yeah, yep. And he was quite a lively force in the street. There's been a few changes. Manfax used to be across the road where that... I don't know what you call it, the one on the corner, the nightclub. No, one of those, it was one of those like where Porter's is now, they were there. And then we had a wonderful chemist at the other end of the street with Duncan Riley.
Yes.
And Duncan Riley was, I was very, very fond of him. He was the grand old man of Gertrude Street. And when there were issues in the street, we'd go to him and cry, and he'd come and sort it out. Mm-hmm. And he was great. I mean, we really miss him, and we don't actually have a figure in the street quite has taken his place, really.
Perhaps you.
Well, I'm only by virtue of being here for ages. The people in the... in the billiard place, they're pretty good. And when we had a bit of an issue with the scale of the new development on
the
Manfax site, they were the... We all met at their place.
Yes. You moved into Fitzroy at a time when there were... everybody was referring to Fitzroy residents as bohemians, and... there were lots of things happening, like on the comedy scene and the art scene and the street festival scene, all that sort of stuff. What was your experience of those years?
Well, I think that is still happening.
Mm.
That is still happening. There's still... I mean, but that whole independent theatre scene has taken a bit of a battering. Funding... You know, our esteemed government, doesn't really foster independent theatre. But the Projection Festival is amazing, really.
Mm-hmm.
and growing and attracting artists, and it's really grown. I think it's 7 years, isn't it? Something like that.
Yeah, it was 2008. I went through these and made.
Is it really? Is it really?
Yes. Well, that's, you're both right. It's 7 years.
Yeah. No, that's really been something that we all work towards and think about, and it attracts. And it's a festival that happens when there's no other festivals because it's in the dead of winter. Mm-hmm. But at the Fringe Festival, there were lots of little venues around that popped up around the place. Smith Street has really changed out of. There was nothing much in Smith Street, and now that's all sort of come to. I haven't actually been to the new supermarket yet.
I've been there just briefly. Because I've decided it's far too big, and I'm still going to Woolworths because I can duck in. I know where everything is.
We know where everything is. That's right. That's right. It might make Woolies lift their game, but what's the? Aren't they going to close it down and build apartments? Or
I haven't heard, but a neighbour told me yesterday that they. I haven't checked it out yet. That they're giving Woolworths, if you've got a pension card, you're getting 10% off now.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, that I mean, they've got to do something, haven't
yes.
they?
Yes.
They've got to do something.
Well, the first Saturday that Coles was open, they even had face painting for children up at Woolworths.
Did they really? Yes. Well, it'd be good if they lifted their game.
Yes.
Yeah. But this end of Smith Street, from Gertrude Street to Victoria Parade, has always been a bit left behind.
Yes.
But the signs are that's being given a lift.
Yeah.
There's a marvellous coffee shop down the other end, Major. Have you been there?
No,
fantastic.
Not yet, no.
Really good. So it's. I think I love living in this area. I couldn't imagine. I've just come back from overseas, actually. We had 6 weeks. Because I'm from England, visiting people, and it's lovely over there. But I just think, oh, so glad to be back.
Yeah. No, I can't imagine living anywhere else.
No. Where do you live?
Webb
Street.
One
oh,
street
I know.
Up.
Yes,
yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Yep, I know. There's somebody there who has accommodation to let. I don't know whether she's still got it. She's got.
There's a
Webb Street.
4 or 5 star. Accommodation, yes.
Yeah, you rent the whole whole house.
Yes. It's got, I looked up Webb Street and there was this place, yeah.
Yes, it's
4 or 5 stars.
I think it's called number something Webb Street.
37,
yeah.
Or something, number like that. And there's the other one that's south, I can't remember the name, but it's not the whole thing. I can't think what it's called, but it's apparently a very nice.
The art.
Yes,
now, what do you call it?
Art might have something.
Yes, yeah. Now, I've forgotten the name of the person who runs that. She's a Fitzroy identity.
Yeah. Well, one other thing crossed my mind before, but,
Did you find it? It's a long way away.
I asked.
And I ran.
Are you still making films?
Have we finished the interview?
I suppose, yes. You've had more questions than I, yes.
Do you have is there any stone left unturned? Any corner in my life you'd like to fill?
One thing, what are you working on mainly now? Obviously you're running.
Up here I do the mundane, which is fix these zips and repairs, and then I make things for the shop, half of which I have no idea what they are. But see that dress over there, the one that we've had to paint the orange circles on. It comes from some movie. There's a parallel universe that goes on. To do with movies and stuff on the telly and characters and stuff. I don't know what that is, but I just do what I'm told.
So you still do some work for film and television?
Not really. Mm-hmm. I don't do audit anymore. Mm-hmm. And when quite a lot of my alumni, people who've been through here, and people who worked with me when I was in the film industry, are now out there doing it. And they're incredibly successful, and I'm very, very proud of them. Their Cappies won 2 AFI awards, and occasionally they ask me if I'll make something, and I do.
Yeah.
But I've got grandchildren, I've got a life, and I don't like to have deadlines anymore. If I promise something, it'll be ready in the morning, then I'm anxious about getting it. So I'm a bit of a coaster these days, but then I get excited about something and decide to stay up and finish it, you know. So basically I'm up here, I listen to my talking books.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
It's a pretty good life, yeah. And then when something more interesting comes along, like talking to you guys or going out for lunch or something, I just go.
Oh, that's an invitation. We'll go out.
yeah, we should. We should. There's some old times, isn't there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you have any more questions?
I might think of some. I usually do that.
Well, you can do it over the phone. Oh, yes. You've got my. Have you got my mobile number?
No, probably not.
I'll give you my mobile, and then you can.
You've got my pen. I'll just put it on the bottom of here for the time being. Do you want that on record?
Oh, what? No. Oh, what? No. Oh, what? No. Oh, what? No. Oh, what?